A decade before women gained the right to vote, Henrietta Leavitt and her fellow women, quote, computers, transformed the science of astronomy. In the Harvard Observatory, Leavitt found 2,400 new variable stars and made important discoveries about their fluctuating brightness, enabling fellow scientists to map the Milky Way and beyond. A play dealing with these events is set for February 27th through March 1st. And here in the studio, I'd like to introduce the director of Silent Sky, Ren Berthel. Hello.
Hello.
Good to have you here this morning.
We're happy to be here.
I'd also like to welcome Ali Huminga, who plays Henrietta Leavitt and is the dramaturg for Silent Sky. How are you, Ali?
I'm good, thank you.
Thanks for being here from Kay College. And Milan Levy, who plays Wilhelmina in this production, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
Where do we begin? This is a fascinating, true story. That's probably the most exciting part for me, hearing about Silent Sky and the true events around a woman and women who gave us great insight into our own universe. Why don't I start with you, Ali? This play, can you tell me who wrote it first, and how is it a newer play?
Yes, Lauren Gunderson wrote the play, and it is a newer play. Lauren Gunderson is still writing, and she writes a lot of plays about women in the sciences, actually, which is wonderful. And she is a very young playwright in her 30s, living in San Francisco. So, yeah. And this was written in 2015.
Oh, my gosh. That's like hot off the presses.
Mm-hmm.
Has it had stagings around the United States or beyond already?
Yes, actually. It was commissioned for a theater. I don't remember exactly where right now, but it was commissioned for a theater in San Francisco, I remember.
All right.
Since then, it's been staged all over the country. In fact, this year, another college in Michigan is doing the play, and it's premiering just a couple weeks from now, I think. And I actually heard about it originally from a theater that I worked at a couple years ago who did the play, so in 2018.
You are a senior at Kalamazoo College, and you've been studying theater this past 4 years,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And the title dramaturg is a little unfamiliar to me. And as you were explaining before we went on the air, you do have to study the entire background, especially if it's a true story.
Yes, it's especially important because my character and Milan's character are both real people, and one other astronomer is portrayed in the play, Annie Cannon. And I feel like for me as an actor, it's very important to know like the real person that I'm portraying so I can properly show her on stage. And also just for the context of the play to really understand the scientific achievements that we are explaining on stage and portraying, and just the way that science was different at the turn of the century. Just the whole historical context is very important for both understanding for the actors and the audience.
All right. What was science like at the turn of the last century? This play is set at a school, right?
Yes. The women work at the Harvard Observatory.
And what is the work that they do?
So, as Wilhelmina puts it in the play, it's called star spanking. Yeah, which is an odd name, but the way it works is there are little fly swatter-like, they're called swatters, and the women analyze photographic plates that are printed, like it's a printed image of the sky on a glass plate, mm-hmm. and they chart every single star on the plate, and they record like the magnitude, the spectral class, the position, and essentially create a catalog of the stars that didn't exist before.
Data analysis comes
yes.
to mind. Why were they called computers? Why were these women called computers?
Because they computed the data. Yeah. That's... So the term computer as we know it today was not used the same way back then. Yeah.
Okay. Although it seems like if you even looking backwards, you could see why they were called computers, because mm-hmm. what they did is something that these machines would do today.
Yes.
Tracking, taking numbers, watching things change. Mm-hmm. So their work was behind the scenes, I'm guessing?
Yes. Yeah. Especially Wilhelmina, because Wilhelmina was the first computer to work at the Harvard Observatory. Well, she was the first female computer to work at the Harvard Observatory, and a majority of the findings that she made was not actually credited to her for many years. Instead, the male head of the Harvard Observatory took credit for her work.
What did Wilhelmina think about that?
Well, she definitely is not happy about it, but I think also something that, like, we talk about a lot in the play that, like, it's kind of like the undertone is, like, this is kind of the state of our society right now, mm-hmm. But we kind of, like, make fun of it in a very, like, lighthearted way. Even though it's not lighthearted, like, we start to read into it. So, like, when Henrietta comes, she's new to the observatory in the play. We start, like, me and Annie, who have been there for a while, we say what each one of us have, like, discovered over the years. Even though we weren't credited for it, we make sure to tell her about it because not a lot of people know about it, if that makes sense, yeah.
I guess you also might keep your mouth shut about your work being uncredited if you need a job and you have, you know, relying on it's probably a decent paid job, or maybe
the
not.
Women at Harvard were paid half of what the men were paid, 25 mm-hmm. cents an hour, which in 1905 wasn't atrocious, but it definitely wasn't the same as right. what the men were being paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really curious about this Lauren Gunderson, because these stories don't often haven't been told historically. You said she's written other plays that also combine science and drama.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are some of the other subjects she's talked about or written about?
Yeah, she wrote a play it's about a female mathematician working a little bit earlier than the women at Harvard in France, and her name was Amélie du Châtelet, I believe, and I could have mispronounced that or misremembered that, but she did a lot in the field of mathematics, and Lauren Gunderson wrote a play about her before she wrote Silent Sky.
We are in the studio live here on Classical WMUK with Ali Haminga, Milan Levy, and Ren Berthel. And they're all from the K College Playhouse. Silent Sky by Lauren Gunderson will be staged on February 27th through March 1st. That's 4 days with performances at 7:30 p.m. Thursday through Saturday. And there will be a Sunday matinee. And you can find out full details online at festivalplayhouse.kazoo.edu. So this opens next Thursday. And the production is called Silent Sky. I'd like to bring in Ren right now to talk about directing Silent Sky. I should have asked earlier, is this a three-person play, or are there other characters we haven't introduced yet?
There's actually five characters in the show.
Okay. What can you tell me about your approach to Silent Sky?
Interestingly, sorry, got a little cold. It's been kind of complicated, like science itself. with this show, bringing together the designers and their vision with the vision of the playwright, bringing that all together has been more intricate for me than what I'm used to. We had an amazing artist paint the floor, Raven Wind. She painted the galaxy, the nebulae and everything, the supernovae on our stage floor, which was the is our foundation, so that the costume designer and I, Lori Sands, we were saying yesterday how that kind of upped everybody's game. Because it's magical, it's so beautiful. And then when you bring light to that, and then the set, which has got a lot of steel in it, and the reflection and the stars and the actors doing their work and the story, it's all quite intricate. The language, the sound and the language are coordinated in a way that, you know, the chaos of the universe actually has coordination in it. The chaos of all the parts of our production also come together in this coordinated way that is kind of beyond the way I can articulate it probably right now.
For listeners who haven't been to the K College Playhouse, can you describe the space? I'm assuming there's risers that the audience sits on and can see this floor rather than a proscenium.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we have a thrust stage, so that means there's audience on three sides of it, and then, yes, they go up. So everybody will have a great view. And part of the set has a constructed balcony with a spiral staircase going up to it that was built by John Reeves. So it's quite a spectacle. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because as a director, usually you want to pick, well, is it the language that's the most important, or is it the spectacle that's most important, or is it another directorial element? But with this one, it really has to come together with
balance.
The costuming, working with that floor and the lights and the words all coming together, the scientific language being understandable, intelligible for any listener that might understand science or not understand science, so.
I'm with Ren Berthel, who is directing Silent Sky at the Kalamazoo College Playhouse starting February 27th. That's next Thursday. And here in the studio also are Ali Haminga and Milan Levy, both members of the cast. Ali also serving as dramaturg for Silent Sky, which was written by Lauren Gunderson, a playwright getting a lot of attention and acclaim these days for bringing stories like Henrietta Leavitt to life. We talked a little bit about Wilhelmina, who was the first employee, half-pay employee, at the Harvard Observatory. Time frame again is late 19th, early 20th century. Is that about right, Henrietta? Allie?
Yes. In real life, Henrietta began working at the Harvard Observatory in 1896, but our play actually begins around 1900 and ends around 1918.
Okay, we have some of the facts in hand. What makes the story go? What is usually conflict? You've already talked about humor, which I was surprised to hear, because it's the oppression of women and having your work stolen essentially.
Yeah.
But so there's humorous elements. What else makes the story go?
There is. A love subplot, a romantic subplot. Henrietta and the one male character in the play, Peter Shaw, who was not a real astronomer, but he kind of represents the man in quotations, according to Lauren Gunderson. And he and Henrietta develop a romantic relationship, and then she gets pulled away because her father is dying. He had a stroke. And the fifth character is Henrietta's sister, Margaret, who really represents Henrietta's traditional side and the conflict between Henrietta's life in Wisconsin, her father's a pastor, and her new scientific life where everything moves fast and she doesn't have time for her old life anymore.
She has a profession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that...
which was still pretty rare for women.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And Margaret is much more traditional. At the beginning of the play, she announces that she has been proposed to and she's now engaged. So she very much takes the traditional route and settles down and has babies. And Henrietta goes off to Boston. And so there's a... the relationship between the sisters is very strong, but they have very different lives, and that kind of, there's a little bit of conflict in that.
We're talking about Silent Sky, which will be staged at the Kalamazoo College Playhouse next Thursday through Sunday, with evening performances at 7:30 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, and Sunday's matinee starts at 2. Details and tickets are at festivalplayhouse.kazoo.edu. Ali Haminga, Milan Levy, and Ren Berthel are live in our studio here on Classical WMUK 89.9 and at WMUK.org. We're learning a little bit about Henrietta Leavitt, who's the subject of Silent Sky, as well as Wilhelmina. I didn't catch the last name of your character.
Fleming.
Fleming, who was the first employee at the Harvard Observatory. Late 1800s and early 1900s, this work was being done. I sort of read from a paragraph at the top of the hour about the work they did as having made important discoveries about the stars' fluctuating brightness and allowing other scientists to map the Milky Way and beyond. So it's groundbreaking, exciting work that they were doing, even though, as you described it, it sounded fairly tedious.
Yes. on average, it took 30 seconds to map one star, and there were hundreds of stars on a single glass plate. So
you needed good eyes, too?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is very tiny, detailed work?
Yes.
Wow. But it's the it's an element of progress on which everything that we know today stands, just like science does that, right? Building upon itself for centuries and centuries. What might you want to tell me about Silent Sky that I'm not figuring out just by guessing about their work and the drama?
Well, one of the reasons why it's called Silent Sky, and something we haven't mentioned yet, is that Henrietta was actually, throughout her life, became deaf. And so throughout the show, I actually wear a hearing aid and when the hearing aid gets taken off, it becomes very quiet so the audience can experience what it's like for Henrietta to not be able to hear. And that does play into the kind of things that Henrietta does. Like, when she's very focused, she takes her hearing aid off and focuses, and people can come in and she won't be able to hear them, and she's very much in her own world. And that kind of focus really played into the passion that she has for the work, and she worked very hard and worked overtime to create this giant catalog of these variable stars called Cepheids. And variable just means that they're pulsing. And through the pulsing, she was able to figure out how the pulsing worked, which was the brightest stars take the longest to blink. And through that, she developed something called the period luminosity relation, which was the actual theory that allowed men like Hubble to actually... he used her theory to figure out how far away stars were to map where the Earth was in the galaxy.
I just want to sit with that
right?
A minute. Yeah. Okay, I'm getting a little more outraged over these women's work being uncredited. So do we know anything about her reaction to being overlooked in terms of research?
Yes. After she discovered the period luminosity relation, there's actually a scenes in the play where she is at home. She becomes very ill because Henrietta in real life died of stomach cancer. So in the last couple scenes, she's portrayed as being very sick. And she is very fired up and angry that all of these men that she's writing to are using her work and nobody is crediting her and no one is writing her back. She's writing letters to all of them. And she can't do the work that she really wants to do anymore. And that's very frustrating for her. So yeah, there is a lot of frustration that is seen from Henrietta.
Did she actually write her colleagues at the end of her life? And
yes. Oh, there's a wonderful book called Mrs. Levitt's Stars that's all about her discoveries and the way that she, made those discoveries and how she felt afterwards. Yeah.
Allie, thanks for that. We are talking with Allie Hominga, Milan Levy, and Ren Barthel about Silent Sky. I'm getting all excited about it. Silent Sky is a play at the Kalamazoo College Festival Playhouse starting next Thursday. We're learning about it with two cast members and the director. The main character is Henrietta Levitt, who worked very, very hard and created and discovered the way stars work to a certain extent, is my understanding. That is all the elements I need to head down to the theater and see something. Like, I'm already so upset. I'd like to maybe push a little more for any further details. And Milan, please jump in here with your reaction, anything we might have missed.
A fun thing about my character, Wilhelmina, she's Scottish. and I do speak in a Scottish accent.
Wonderful.
I learned over the quarter, which has been really fun and hard, but also really fun.
There's lots of good swearing in Scotland too.
it's definitely interesting, like learning a dialect, and then like seeing like also being like a woman playing a woman who like came to the U.S. at like 21 and like actually like before, so she was the first woman to work at Harvard Observatory, but before that she was a housekeeper at for Edward Pickering, who was the head of Harvard Observatory, and pretty much what he said was, my housekeeper can do better than you men. Oh. And then I did better than those men. No. And
proved
so
<him right. laughs>
and so that's kind of how that all started, which I think is so awesome and so cool. So yeah, I'm very honored to play this character for sure.
You are a first year theater student at K.
Yes.
What can you tell me about other experience? Have you been in some other productions this year?
This is my first time acting in a production at K.
Wonderful.
I worked as an ASM in the fall production of the Spitfire Grill, which was also super fun. I like technical theater as well. So
yeah, yeah.
All aspects of theater is awesome. So,
when you were in high school, did you also participate in theater?
Yeah. I went to a performing arts high school for theater. I've been doing theater for a long time.
Oh, it's, yeah. You've a lot of more experience than I might guess. Where was this high school?
It was in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, my goodness. You've had quite a shock in terms of weather and everything. It was in Los Angeles?
Yes. It was called LOXA, Los Angeles County High School for the Arts.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you chose Kalamazoo. And I have a great run next week with Silent Sky. I'm going to ask some personal details from Allie, too. You're in your fourth year. You'll be graduating.
Yes.
What are some of your future plans?
Well, this quarter, some students and faculty from Kalamazoo College went to something called the American College Theater Festival in Wisconsin. The Region 3 is in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And at that festival, I received a scholarship to do a theater intensive in Fresno, California for 2 weeks to do devised theater in collaboration at the California State University Summer Arts Program. So immediately after graduation, I'll be doing that. And then I'm actually hoping to move to Los Angeles and pursue a career in acting, directing, and theater arts management and administration.
So, yeah, beyond just auditioning for roles, but looking for roles in front and behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I guess final word to you, Ren. You're working with some talented young people here, and also I got the impression you're working with a lot of elements and technical folks and bringing together a whole piece for next week.
Yes.
Can you give us your final thoughts on Silent Sky?
Well, please come and see it so that you can see it for yourself. Bring it on. See it all brought together on stage live at Festival Playhouse.
Will it be... you'll be entering Tech Week, I guess, starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
So a lot will be, you know, there's still a lot of elements to be brought together. Oh,
yeah.
Let's hear from Allie.
This is when it all happens, yep.
I just wanted to say that I believe that this story is so important because as we were kind of going through this interview, it's this is a story that has been overlooked, like you said. And so I think that seeing it and doing it on stage it's been a great experience for me. And I think that it's so important to, like Ren said, come see the play, especially if you are at all interested in this sort of topic, because it's not only about the sciences, but it's very empowering for women. And it's just a very important story that needs to be told and needs to be seen. So
Silent Sky will open next Thursday night at the Kalamazoo College Festival Playhouse. Performances are at 7:30 Thursday through Saturday and Sunday at 2:00 in a matinee. And details are available at the website festivalplayhouse.kazoo.edu. Milan and Allie and Ren, thank you all for coming here to talk about Silent Sky, and all the best with the show. Let's transition to some music here. And it's kind of appropriate, I think, to play The Planets by Gustav Holst, who was composing the piece right around the time of the events of this play. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you for having us.